Father, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you. And we give you the praise and give you the glory. Amen. Lord, we thank you because as we are in the house of the Lord again this morning, we are here to fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another. And we know that the entrance of your word brings light. We want to thank you, Lord, for that word that's going to shine in our hearts this morning. And Lord, we just love you. And we ask you, Lord, to glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on, let me hear you. How are you doing this morning? Well, praise the Lord. Let's get right into the message this morning. Birth pains. Travail before triumph. Amen. So I'm going to be speaking on birth pains. And I'm going to start here in the book of John. I'm going to start at John chapter 16. And we're going to try to go through this very quickly. I have a lot of things to share with us this morning. So get the scriptures up quickly. Get your Bibles out quickly. Let's do this quickly. John chapter 16 and verse 21. This is our text this morning. Remember, we're talking about birth pains. And travail always comes before triumph. John 16 and 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to this message. I believe the Lord's going to bless your heart and explain some things, to you this morning and give you courage and strength. Amen. When a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish and the pain and so forth. For the joy that a man is born into the world. Amen. So we see that, she has this pain and she goes through. We have a young lady here that's pregnant right now. Some of the women here have been through this stage. Have you ever wondered, why? Why is it that women have to go through 9 months of this pain and suffering? And sometimes some pregnancies are so hard. And even when it comes time to bring forth the baby, some people labor for many, 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 many hours before they can deliver that baby. Is that true? Yeah, sometimes it's very hard, and it's just, if they hang in there, if they can just hang in there, they can get that baby and so forth. So we're going to be looking at the natural phenomena, things that happen around birth or birthing of something, and see how we can apply it spiritually and also into other areas of our lives. So that's what we're going to be looking on now. 9 months, she has to go through it sometimes, that the woman. And at the end, it's like, a culmination of all those 9 months coming to that pain and suffering. I've been in some places where a woman was trying to give birth and so forth, and they don't want anything. They don't want to hear nothing from nobody, this wasn't my wife, but, I had an opportunity to deliver a sister many, many years ago in a camp meeting and so forth, went in there. And so forth. She didn't want nothing to do with her husband. She was like, it's as if the man put the pain upon her. And she was like, she wouldn't have any part of it. But after the baby was born, there was joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some scriptures. First, I'll do a little bit of teaching, and then I'll do some preaching. So let's go first through some scriptures just to see, lay background, why these things are so. We're going to answer some questions this morning. Why do we sometimes have to go through this? And perhaps you're going through some stuff that you don't understand. So let's take a look at some scriptures this morning. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10
And we're going to look at just one verse here, verse 36. It says, "For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Well, you know, if you read this verse carefully, it doesn't say that, you know, you will receive the promise in order to enable you to do the will of God. No. It says first, you're going to go through a period of seeing, testing whether you will do the will of God. And then you will receive the promise. And during that time, you may, endure a lot of things. And scripture says you need patience. Let's also look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm just going to go through some of these scriptures real quickly, and then we'll come back into the real part of the message. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." Now, not before, but after you have suffered a while, then he'll make you perfect, he'll establish you, he'll strengthen you, and he will settle you. Amen? Well, why do I have to suffer a while? Why can't he just settle me first, you know, and strengthen me so that I will have strength for the suffering? Why do I have to suffer a while first, you know, before he makes me perfect? Why do I have to go through all these things? Well, that's some of the things we're going to find out today, you know, and that how God calls this thing forth and how God uses, you know, the natural things sometimes to explain the spiritual things, you know. So let's look at, again, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. This is an example of, you know, people in the Bible. We're going to look at some examples of people in the Bible that went through many things and so forth and see how they came about, you know, inheriting the promise. He said, "Look, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience they inherit the promises." So, faith is the one thing, but patience, I mean, you got to have faith. You can't, if you don't have faith, you can't get anything from the Lord. We already know that. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. But, you know, sometimes your faith will be tried. The trial of your faith, worketh patience and so forth. You know, your faith will be tried. While you're believing God, you know, it seems like things may not go your way sometimes, you know, and so forth. But God has a plan and God has a purpose. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, some of God's most, I mean, the rarest and most precious metals that God has, they're buried in hundreds, perhaps even more than that, of dirt. I mean, feet of dirt in the earth. And people have to dig, sometimes even dynamite through rocks and different things, and excavate and so forth when they're digging for precious metals like gold, diamond, and silver. You know, and the deeper they dig, you know, the more likely the greater precious stones they will find. And, you know, there's a lot of sweat. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of hard work that goes into bringing those things out. And after they succeed in actually bringing out those rare metals, they are covered with dirt because they've been in the ground for a long time, perhaps even thousands of years, you know, and then there is a process that those metals have to go through. How many of you are still with me? They have to go through what's called the refiner's fire. I mean, after all that digging and all that stuff and so forth, I mean, you notice that, you know, you can't just go around, you know, go outside right now and pick up a stone that's worth anything. It's not worth anything. Those stones that you see out there, they're not worth anything. You know, you're going to have to work very hard, dig very hard. Not everybody will succeed. There's a lot of digging and you know exhibitions and so forth, and they don't succeed. They do a lot of, sometimes take a lot of years, you know, and you know, but those precious jewels, they are buried. They are buried so that somebody is going to have to struggle and fight and keep at it before they can find it. And after they find it, they're going to have to go through this thing in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book there in the Old Testament. Malachi 3, chapter 2. Verse 2 and verse 3. Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. So shall he purify the sons of the kingdom. It says he has sons of Levi, but he'll purify the sons of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And purge them as gold and silver, so that they may bring forth the best that's in them. Hallelujah. You know, so those precious metals, they go through, 1,000-degree temperature, heat, and so forth, and all kinds of things before that jewel. Some of you are wearing some of those jewels today. Some of the women, they're wearing the gold bands or whatever and all that. Some people are wearing diamonds from their wedding band and all that. You know, it didn't come easy. And that's why those things are priced, very high sometimes. You know, it doesn't come easy to bring those things out. You know, but if they can persist and stay in there and do all that work and so forth, then perhaps, you know, they may succeed in finding something. So take a look and just consider the process that they have to go through, the process of the pain and the suffering and all that they have to go through before they can really come up with, some really precious metals. Let's look at the book of Job. Chapter 23 and verse 10. The book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 10. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. Hallelujah. Well, he knows the way that you're going. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Now, you're not going to come forth as gold before he tries you. No. It's after he has tried you, you know, put you through the fire sometimes, it looks like. You know, then if you survive, then you come forth as pure gold. Amen. Now, so sometimes those fanning of the fiery fire and all that, it's not pleasant and it's not easy upon the body. But we're going to learn some things here this morning. If you just stay patiently with this message as I go through the first part of the teaching, and then we're going to bring some things that the Lord wants us to share with the church this morning. Now, some of the greatest stories in that Bible and some of the greatest prophets and so forth, you know, their birthing into greatness came through a struggle sometimes, a lot of pain sometimes. You know, so I'm going to just show you some examples in the Bible, you know, so we can see and build upon the foundation that we're laying here for this message and this teaching. Now, many of you know the story of Moses. He was a great deliverer that God sent, and he went and did those marvelous things, you know, and so forth in the land of Egypt, and that God did by his hands. But how many of you know that Moses himself spent a long time, close to 40 years, in the backside of the wilderness getting ready to go back? When he fled from Egypt, took the law into his hands at one time, tried to deliver, you know, the children of Israel, and they found out about it, he ran. And it took many, many years. And he was called to be a deliverer, but he wasn't ready because he wanted to do things his way. And God realized that this guy isn't ready. So, you know, God allowed him to go through all of that, and he went into the wilderness for many, many years, you know. He even started to raise a family and so forth. And it almost seemed as if, you know, the vision was lost. You know, but God's vision is never lost. Amen. And then one day, God got a hold of him. You know, he saw the burning bush. And he said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight. Why this bush is, you know, burning but not consumed. And then God got a hold of him and sent him back. And then the rest is history. And you saw all the wonderful things that he did. But I tell you, Moses himself, when he was first born, his life was in danger. You know, there was an edict, you know, from the king of Egypt then to kill all the male children, because the children of Israel began to multiply and they began to get stronger and bigger than even the the Egyptians. You know, and so they said, well, here's what we're going to do. Wipe off all their male children. Get rid of all of them. And you know, you can spare the women, but spare the little girls who are babies. I mean, babies who are girls, but kill all the babies who are men. And so Moses, when he was born, he was almost killed. His life was in danger. God gave his mother and his sister some wisdom and so forth like that. And you know the rest of the story. I don't want to go too much into that. You know, how they put him in the river and so forth, and how he was pulled out of the river by Pharaoh's sister and so on. And they lived in Pharaoh's house for a long time, you know. But he went through many, many, many things before he would get to his real calling. Now, let's look at a few prophets. I have some examples here, but I'm going to abbreviate it because of time. Let's look at some of the great prophets in that Bible and the things that either they or their mothers went through before they were birthed and emerged into God's calling. We see the story of Samuel. In the first couple of chapters of 1 Samuel, story of Hannah, his mother, she was barren for many years. You know, and you know, the other wife made fun of her, you know, because Elkanah had two wives, and so made fun of her and all of that, and she was really sorrowful in her heart. And for many years, she went barren, for many, many years. And she went crying unto the Lord in the temple and so forth. And finally, when God would turn her situation around, she had this man child, and she said, well, I'm going to loan him unto the Lord. And out came Samuel. You know the rest of the story. And Samuel became one of the great prophets in that Old Testament there. But his mother went through a lot of things. Many, many years of sorrow and so forth, of being in pain and not getting a child and being, you know, being disrespected and mocked and so on. You know, and at one time my husband had to tell you, look, am I not better than 10 sons unto you? She didn't answer that, but it was like, no, in her mind. I want my own son. Praise the Lord. So finally, the Lord answered her, you know, and, you know, so, but, you know, look at all the things she went through. Now, Jesus himself, he testified of John the Baptist. He said, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went you out to see? Somebody clothed with soft raiment? Those people live in king's houses. But what went you out to see? He began to ask them. And then after they said one thing or the other, Jesus said, look, I tell you something. Of all the people that are born of women, you know, up until that time, there is none greater than this man. Because he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was John the Baptist. But I tell you, John the Baptist, his mother Elizabeth was barren. Hello, somebody. When the angel visited Mary, you can read in the first couple chapters of Luke, you know, and after she got her own message and so forth, she was also told that now even your cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months present, of whom, you know, she had been called barren. For with God there shall nothing be impossible. Amen. She was barren. And people probably gave her up and so forth. And one of the greatest prophets in that Bible came out of that barrenness. You know, so you begin to see the pattern of things. You know, how God doesn't just hand out greatness. Amen. Hello, somebody. You know, doesn't just hand it out. The story of Abraham and Sarah. People call Abraham the father of faith, you know. But, you know, I don't need to read his story to you. You've heard it many times. But I tell you what, it took him 25 years to obtain the promise that God promised him. And when God promised him, his name was Abraham. God promised him and made him change his name to Abraham, which will be the father of many nations, you know. And he walked around with this name, and people must have mocked him in those days. Abraham, father of nations, look at you. We always knew you didn't have it together, but we knew you were this crazy. I mean, we have our kids and children round about us. We don't even call ourselves father of nations. But look at you. You don't even have a child. How are you going to be father of nations? You know. But yes, every day he testified to them because of his name. Every time they called that name, Abraham, it was a testimony that God was going to bring it forth. Amen. Now, it took 25 years. How many of you can wait for God's promise for 25 years? How many of you in here today? God promised you something. You could wait for it for 25 years. That's a long time. And this was a very precious promise. That's the reason why you are here today. Amen. Yes. Out of the lineage of the seed that God will bring, will be all of you sitting here today. Amen. You know, he said in Isaac, shall all the nations be blessed. And then it wasn't exactly Isaac. He dropped down again to the root of Jesse. Hallelujah. And the offspring later on that came forth out of that, you know, and all that, you know, and that was Jesus. And we're of his lineage. That's why we're here today. But look at all the things they went through, you know, to be there. And even all the problems that are in the world today between the Jews and the Arabs and so forth. Well, because of the impatience of Sarah trying to organize the promise of God, you know, and so forth. And now look at the problems that we have. But God's still going to bring something beautiful out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, because a nation will be born in one day, and all of Israel, God's chosen Israel, will be saved. He knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Now, one of my favorite stories in that Bible, and you've heard me tell it many times on this platform, the story of Joseph. I mean, Joseph. I mean, look at all the things that he had to go through. And you young people, you should even know that story. You know, and, you know, his brothers conspired about him. They wanted to kill him. One of them stood up for him that they wouldn't kill him. And he wanted to deliver him, but he couldn't get it done. They sold him into slavery. For many, many years, they took him, a young man, probably a young teenager, took him from his family, took him into a foreign land that he knew nobody. You know, and then when he got into the foreign land, you know, he was framed for something he didn't commit because he stood up for his faith in God. And said, I'm not going to do this sin. And Potiphar's wife and so forth wanted to, you know, to have immoral, you know, actions with him and so forth. And he wouldn't do it. She conspired against him and they put him in the slammer and all of that. And so everything just went, all kinds of problems loaded upon him, you know. And the whole time, the devil probably on his shoulder and say, we'll see about your dreams now. you're gonna rule the world, huh? You're going to have your brothers bow down to you, huh? Well, we'll see how you come out of this prison. But yes, he did come out of the prison. Amen. Hallelujah. And in one day, by the gift of God, I was in his life. But he was patient. You know, he interpreted the dream for the baker and the butler. And they still forgot him in there. I mean, the one that was saved still forgot him in there for 2 years. But someday, by the mercy and grace of God, God pulled him out of there. And God was, all those things that were happening to him, all those troubles and so forth, being in prison and everything and suffering, you know, in slavery and all that. Every one of those things getting him closer to his destiny. Amen. And he took him going into prison to bring him before Pharaoh. The best that he had before that was to stand before the army chief of staff. But when he went into prison and when he interpreted that dream 2 years later, it took 2 full years before the guy would even remember him. You know, finally, you know, God pulled him out. And when God pulled him out, he stood before Pharaoh and he interpreted those dreams and so forth like that and gave the wisdom like that. And he said to Pharaoh, you need to find a man that's wise and can do all of these things. And Pharaoh said, well, where are we going to find such a man but you? And Pharaoh said, you know, your name is such and such. He gave him a name too. And said, I am Pharaoh. Amen. And without you shall nothing be done in this Egypt. Give the Lord a hand clap, somebody. Hallelujah. He went through all of that. And yes, he came into what God promised him by those dreams and those visions. So on. But he looked at first, he looked a million miles away from it. And look at what even Jesus said. You know, the greatest example in that Bible of anything is Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 24. After Jesus died and third day he rose. I mean, and there were two disciples. They said they went on the way to this place called Emmaus. And Jesus joined himself. And they were talking. They said, all these things that happened. Jesus said, what things? And they said, are you a JJC? I mean, what, where are you coming? You don't know all these things. He said, what things? You know, and they began to say all of these things and so forth. And Jesus said to them in this, Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. Turn with me quickly. Luke 24, 25 and 26. He said, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Verse 26. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" Look at the progression of things. Look at the sequence of things. "Ought not," this is Jesus talking himself, "ought not Christ first to have suffered these things and then enter into his glory?" Now, Jesus couldn't enter into his glory until he suffered those things. And we are told in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 and so forth, we know, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who knew," I mean, he was God and everything, but he emptied himself. "Wherefore God has highly exalted him." Amen. But I tell you what, the road to Christ's glory was through all of his sufferings. And some of you wonder why some things happen to you and so forth. I mean, Jesus himself had to go through all of that. And it wasn't very easy. You know, it was even one time in his flesh and so forth. He said, "Look, let this cup pass away from me, Lord." You know, but quickly, the Spirit came back and said, "Nevertheless, sir, not thy my will be done, but thy will be done." And he went through all of that and so forth. Oh, my. And look at the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Turn with me quickly. Acts 14, 22. Look at what the Lord, I mean, speaking through, these disciples, I mean, these apostles, Paul and so forth, and said, "Look, after they confirmed the souls of the disciples, they will exhort them to continue in the faith and telling them that we must." Now, this is must. This is not perhaps. Listen to this, folks. "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom." Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's right. That's must. That's not perhaps you will. No, it is a must. Jesus said it himself, John 16 and 33. "In the world, ye shall have tribulation." Amen. Can someone say amen? Whether you say amen or not, you shall have tribulation. I know you don't like to say, you don't like to say amen to that one. "But ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." The good news is he has already overcome the world for you. Amen. But there's no escaping it, folks. It's a pattern of life that God has set in place. In the beginning, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. Because I always like to go back and look at the pattern of things from the beginning. When there was darkness upon the face of the earth, God didn't like any of that chaos. And the Holy Spirit, he brought order out of that chaos. But when he did, he looked at the darkness. Well, and I've always said it, some of you have heard me say it many times. The Lord did not say to the darkness, "Let the darkness be no more." He never said that. Hello? He didn't say that. And if he had said it, the darkness would never have been anymore. But he did not say it. All he said was, "Let there be light." And he left the darkness in place. He even gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. Because there was a reason for it. And God set the one over against the other. Hallelujah. As we are told in the book of Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. "In the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider." Because God has set night versus day right up against each other. He has also set adversity and prosperity right up against each other. And he has also set birth pains and travail before triumph. Why? To the end that man should seek nothing but after him. He wants you to put your trust in him. Amen. Let's put our hands together for that. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you a story here. I love this story. In the book of Mark chapter 4, you'll find this story from about verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to about 41. And we're going to begin to bring out the most important part of this message now. Stay with me for the next few minutes. Because I'm changing this right now. Now, listen to this. There was a story here that Jesus said to his disciples. He said to them, "Let us pass over onto the other side." That's what he said to the disciples. You know, and then they sent away the multitudes and so forth. And then they entered into the ship, you know, and so forth. You know the story. Some of you do. And then as soon as they enter into the ship, there was a great, you know, tempest and all kinds of things that, you know, came up against them, the waves and so forth, you know. But meanwhile, Jesus had gone to the back of the boat and he was asleep. Now, you know, and then the story went, and these people were afraid for their lives because the thing, I mean, these were seasoned fishermen. They've been in all kinds of tempests and things like that before, but this one really came at them, you know. And so they ran to Jesus and woke him up. Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? I mean, we're going through all these things and you are sleeping? Amen, somebody. I mean, doesn't that seem like just your situation here? The moment you get into the boat with the Lord, now he shows you a revelation and he gives you promises about your life. And the moment you take his hand and you're walking in there, and it seems like all hell breaks loose against you. And it seems like Jesus goes to sleep on you sometimes. And, you know, you can't seem to find him. Where's the Lord when you need him now? You know, because everything is breaking loose. Now, he promised you great things. Even this year, the Lord said, it'll be the year of promise. He promised you great things. But perhaps, you know, things don't seem to be going so well, you know, and so forth. But hang in there till the end of this message. Amen. You know, so, and then when Jesus rose up, he rebuked the wind and the sea. And when he rebuked the wind and the sea in the calm, there was a great calm. Then he turned around and rebuked the disciples. Praise the Lord. Why is it that you are so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So if you see from this story, Jesus had more faith in the disciples than they had in him. And he knew that they could handle the situation. So he went to sleep. You know, he didn't care about, you know, the storm. Folks, there will be storms in life. The storm will come and will pass. Because that's what storms do. Jesus knew the storm was coming and it didn't bother him at all. He was going to sleep through the storm, ride the storm out, let the boat go up and down and so forth. Because he said what? Let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go and be destroyed in the sea. Let us pass over to the other side. That's the word that he spoke. And the word of God will sustain itself. Hallelujah, somebody. That word, if they would have remembered that Jesus didn't say, let us go and perish in the middle of the sea, and they would have remembered that Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, they probably would have known that they will pass over to the other side. Despite all the billowing of the sea and so forth, you will pass over to the other side. Amen. When Jesus is in the boat, the boat can never capsize. Amen. Now, there will be storms that will come against the boat. Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean there won't be storms against the boat. There will be tremendous forces that the devil will unleash against you to destroy your dreams and so forth like that. But Jesus is in the boat. Amen. Is Jesus in your boat? Come on, somebody. Is Jesus in your boat? Hallelujah. If Jesus is in your boat, there's no drowning of that boat. But I tell you something, though. You know, what you're going to have to do when you are in the boat with the Jesus, you have to stay the course. Amen. You have to stay the course. You cannot jump ship. You've got to stay in the boat. There was a story, you know, in the book of Acts and so forth, you know, and that, you know, Paul was going through, I have to move on quickly now. I can't read all these stories. Paul was going through, you know, and so forth, and he himself and prisoners, many prisoners in the boat and so forth. And Paul said to them, look, there will be no lives lost, but except ye stay in the boat, ye cannot be saved. If you jump ship, you're not going to make it. Stay in the boat. Amen. Stay in the boat because Jesus is in the boat. Don't worry about all the hell that's breaking loose. Jesus is in control. Amen. And he's going to see you through it all. Hallelujah. Now there's a story, a wonderful story about the butterfly, the cocoon and the butterfly. In fact, I had a message prepared like that many months or years ago. It's going to preach that. It lines up with this message and so forth. You know, one of the most elegant, one of the most beautiful and elegant creatures that God made is that butterfly. And one time my wife and I went to this butterfly thing place somewhere in Scottsdale, and we saw the beauty of, you know, all of that, God's beautiful creation and so forth. But I tell you something, that butterfly, before it can get its wings and get all that elegance and get all that beauty and all that glory, it first was one of the most disgusting and repulsive creatures. You ever seen that ugly caterpillar? It's repulsive, you know, and so on. First starts out with a cocoon, metamorphosis into this ugly looking thing, you know, but the process of extraction of that butterfly out of that thing is one of the most painful processes. I mean, you could see the thing struggling, and it's like it's going to die, you know, and so forth. It's not going to make it. But when it comes out of that thing, boy, it's going to be the most elegant thing that you ever saw. He's going to be beautiful. He's going to have the wings. And he can float and he can fly. And he can just go like that. And, you know, and it's so beautiful and so forth. And people forget when they see that beautiful butterfly. They forget that it was first one ugly looking caterpillar. Or so repulsive that nobody even wanted it near them and so on. I tell you something, folks. No matter what you are going through today, you hang in there with the Lord. Amen. And he knows the way that he's going to bring you out of it. Hallelujah. Back pains might be what you are going through right now. Because something, God is fixing to birth something in your life. And some of the dreams, some of your aspirations that you have, you're going to have to go through birth pains. You students, listen to me today. There is no greatness that's going to come from any laziness or not doing your work. Amen. Don't have faith and say God is just going to show you the answer. No, that's not going to work. You're going to work hard. Hallelujah. So I already preached that one 2 Sundays ago, Lamentations 3 and 37. It's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. You do all you need to do. You work really hard. And you see, greatness doesn't come, it's not just handed out. Look at what students have to go through before they become great. Do you know how many years people have to go to school before they actually become something great? I mean, they go through, Head Start or whatever, a couple years, grade school, kindergarten, a few years, grade school, a few more years, you know, then high school, a few more years, then college, by the time you're said and done, they've been in school about 18 years. And all of a sudden, one day he comes out and he gets a doctorate degree and everybody claps. But I tell you what, there were many times during that journey that he wanted to quit. But if he had quit, he wouldn't be standing there and getting all that praise and that glory and that degree. Amen. So don't quit on the Lord now. You hang in there. Praise the Lord. You give it what it takes. Because God has already put inside of you what it takes. And you're going to have to stand in there and dig in deep with the Lord. Amen. Amen, people. Right. Don't let anything set you back. You know, what about your dreams? What about the things that you are believing God for? But all of a sudden it looks like extreme challenges and extreme difficulties. Well, extreme situations also calls for extreme faith. Amen. And so you've got to have extreme measures too of hanging in there. You know, don't turn loose. You know, but be like a pit bull. Sink your teeth into it and you can't shake it loose. Amen. You know, don't let the devil, don't be a pushover for the devil. You know, he comes at you in so many different ways and you give up. Well, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 10 and verse 24, if you give up, put that scripture up for me. If you give up, if you faint in the day of adversity, it means your strength is little. That's verse 10:24. You know, your strength is little if you faint. Hallelujah. Don't faint. Hang in there. Praise the Lord. Hang in there. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. For some reason I said Ecclesiastes 10:24. If thou faint in the day of adversity, then it means your strength is little. And also one of my favorite exhortation verses in that Bible, Jeremiah 12 and 5. It says, look, if you have run with footmen and you are weary, how are you going to contend against horses? Can you put somebody there putting up the scriptures, Jeremiah 12 and 5? You know, if you run against footmen and they weary you and all that, how are you going to contend against horses? I mean, if the little challenges of life, you know, wear you out and you give up, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? Basically, is what he's saying. He said, look, in the land of peace where you trusted, you know, and so forth, and you're weary out. What are you going to do when Jordan and everything swells up and there's cataclysmic upheavals and everything? How are you going to survive? Well, God wants you every day. Everything you're going through now is a training ground. Hallelujah. You know, you're not going to just get that degree. If it's a 4-year college program, you're not going to get it after the first semester, folks. You're going to have to hang in there. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to do those assignments. You're going to have to do everything and so forth. Week after week, day after day, you are going to grind in there. And God is going to give you the victory. Amen. Now, in the book of Psalm 30 and verse 5. I love this scripture. It says, look, this is what I went back to the beginning and said, look, there is night and there is day. This scripture says that, you know, weeping may endure for a night. Hallelujah. That's the last part of the verse. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. Now, the sorrow and the birth pains are there now, but victory is coming in the morning. Amen. You have travail now, but you are going to get triumph. Hallelujah. But if you quit, if that woman quit when she was pregnant having that travail and she gave up, that baby may never be born. That baby may die. So you hang in there with the Lord. Amen. And you say, well, but why can't just God make it easy or easier? Well, there is no temptation that will come your way that is greater than your strength. Hallelujah, somebody. One time, many, many years, I was in college, and one of my friends was complaining that he was having problems and so forth. You know, he seemed to have more problems than others. And I said, congratulations. Praise the Lord. He was a believer, too. I said, well, congratulations. It means that the Lord knows that your strength is greater and you can handle it. Amen. Now, of course, there are some things that devil will push against you because lack of knowledge. My people perish. The devil sometimes will take advantage of people's lack of knowledge to push against them and all that. But God is with you. Amen. Now, no night can last forever. I don't care if we're in the winter months when the nights are longer. Whatever it is, at some point in time, the day is going to break. It can never last forever. You know, some people have said that the darkest hour is just before day dawn or daybreak. Well, I don't know. I can't confirm it. But, you know, some people say that. But whatever it is, it can only last so long. Hallelujah. Look at this wonderful promise in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 18. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. It says, for surely there is an end to your current struggle. Amen. And your expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. But you cannot give up. If you give up, you're going to lose that expectation. Now, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 18? In the first 8 verses, he talked about how men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he gave a story and so forth. You know, then in verse 8, he said, look, verses 7 and 8 actually. He said, I tell you something. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night, even though he tarry long with them? He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Even though he tarry long, he will avenge you. But on the day when the Lord actually comes with your victory, will you still be standing at the point of faith? That's what this scripture means, among many other things. You know, people are believing God. And when it's just around the corner, that's when they give up. Most people are like that. They believe God, they believe God, they believe God, then they give up. They believe God, they believe God, they believe God, then they give up. And just right around the corner, the blessing was there. And then they gave up. When he finally comes, with the answer to your long struggle, will you still be at the point of faith, or will you have given up? You know, some people give up. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, look, no matter what's going on, you hang in there, because it may be for an appointed time. God knows the times. But at the end, it shall speak, and it will not tarry. You need to wait for it, because it will surely come. Can somebody say amen? It will not tarry. Even though he will tarry long with you, even though he bear long with you and so forth, you hang in there and you wait for it. It will not tarry long. Amen. But you must stay in the boat. The story that I referred to earlier, and I'm going to close with this, is in Acts chapter 27 and verse 31. Acts 27 and verse 31. It's the story I referred to. When Paul said to them, look, there will be no loss of lives, but you must stay in the boat. If you jump ship, you cannot be saved. So stay in the boat, folks. Hallelujah, somebody. The same thing with our spiritual lives today. God will make us go through all kinds of things and so forth. Why? He will weary out all the unbelief. And then at the end, he will pick out the real elect. Praise the Lord. Are you going to be one of those that will be standing? Will you stand the test of time? I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. Birth pains always precede the birth of a child. And the birthing of greatness comes from a lot of travail. That's what this message is all about. So remember that. The birthing and bringing forth of the precious stones and all of the things of the earth, you know, goes through a lot of pain and a lot of struggle. And the birthing of your dreams and the greatness that God has ordained for your life sometimes will have to pass through a lot of trials and a lot of struggles. And you may be going through the struggles right now, and it may seem to you like a setback, but you hang in there. Amen. Amen, somebody. And I'm going to pray with you here this morning. And I prayed already. I said, Lord, encourage your people this morning. And let them hang in there. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for you this morning. I'll just take a few more minutes. If you're struggling with what seems to be like Jesus went asleep on you. If you're struggling with what seems to be, well, all hell broke loose around you. And you seem to be hanging in to the, you know, to the promise of God. But things are not working out. Hang in there. Maybe birth pains. Something glorious is coming. Amen. The butterfly is coming from that ugly caterpillar. It's going to happen, folks. So if you are here this morning, I'm going to do this very quickly. I'm going to believe God with you, that God will strengthen you, that you will not jump ship. Amen. And for you who are students or in business or whatever it is, you may start business and things may not be going right, you know, first few years and so. Hang in there. The same thing with people when they get married and so forth. They're looking for some glorious thing. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in their marriage. Hang in there, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't jump ship. Don't jump ship in that marriage as well. You know, just hang in there. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to lift up your hands. And I'm going to do this very quickly. There's a reason why sometimes I ask for people to step forward. Because it takes an act of faith. By the time you step out from the aisle, you know, from your thing there in the aisle and come down here, you are believing God for something. So do that quickly. Step out and let me believe God with you. I won't take very long. I'm not going to pray one by one. I'm just going to pray about you. But take that step of faith and say, Lord, yeah, maybe my faith was shaking and so forth, but I'm going to believe God. Remember, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. What God said to you in the light, when you seem to be in darkness, remember it. Don't falter. His word will never fail. His word will sustain itself. Hallelujah. So there is a wonderful promise that you are believing God for this year. But instead of it coming to pass, everything you try, it looks like it's going a million miles opposite of that. Hang in there. Hallelujah. It's birth pains. The greatest thing in your life is just about to happen. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and let's believe God together. The greatest thing in your life is right around the corner.
Just like that woman that's having that birth pains. The greatest thing in your life is right around the corner. And God's going to do something wonderful for you. Now, Lord Jesus, look upon your people here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible says, and I will speak his word. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Instead of being bowed down, lift up your head here this morning and look for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, open ye the gates and let the righteous nation go in. Every gate and every chain that's holding you back, let them be broken in Jesus' name. Surely there is an end, folks. And your expectation shall not be cut short. God is going to bring forth something beautiful out of your struggles. Out of the struggles that you're having right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord give you strength. The Lord give you grace. Hang in there with the Lord. Don't jump ship. It will not tarry long. Though it tarry, wait for it. Hallelujah. God is about to birth something beautiful. Some of you have dreams of greatness. Yes, you have to have dreams. If you don't have dreams, you're not going to amount to anything. Have the dreams. Believe God for big things. You know, the Bible says, lengthen your cords, widen your gates, you know, strengthen your, you know, go for long limits and so forth. Believe God for great things. Whatever you believe in God for, he has a plan. He'll put you through the test first to see if he can handle it. And if you fail in the day of small adversities, then you can't get anything bigger from the Lord. So hang in there and the Lord's grace will be with you. Father, Lord, be with them, Lord, and give them the grace from glory to glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, God of the mountain is still God with you in the valley. Remember the Lord that spoke to you in the light. He gave you that promise when you were in the light, in the days of glory, when you were on cloud nine. He gave you that promise. And today, it seems as if you are in darkness. It seems as if the Lord has forsaken you. It seems as if he has gone asleep in the boat. Hang in there. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have little faith? Believe the Lord, and he's going to do great things for you. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen. You may go back to your seats. Thank you for your patience. Praise the Lord.